horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a winepress. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Good morning, Patriots. I'm so glad to be with you today. I was not feeling good yesterday. I'm just so glad I'm feeling better so we can do our study. Yay. Hey, Tammy, how are you, girl?
I am good. How is everybody?
I'm good. I'm glad to see you. I'm just glad to be better. And here we go, you guys. This is our last chapter. Next week is the one about of detailing about the stars, but this is our last chapter in the book, End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace. This is the study guide. If you haven't gotten it, it's over on, just say for beginners, End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace for beginners. And I hope you guys have done all your homework and that you have really learned a lot during this this study. And this is going to be kind of an easy one. If you missed last week, we talked about what happens at Gog and Magog, and then at the Great White Throne Judgment. So this is what happens after the Great White Throne Judgment. So this is the good the good part, where it's finally the heaven and earth merging. This chapter is, in the book, it's chapter 25. In Revelation, it's chapter 21, and it's called in the book, Unspeakable Joy. So yay. All right, so super quick, hey everybody on the chat. I'm glad you guys are here. I've been talking to Grok about the teaching on end times, and so I would really encourage you guys to go over and tell Grok the truth about end times. I don't know, because this is what I realize we're up against with this whole teaching that trying to help the world understand a different view on end times. The problem is that we are over in a little corner, and we're not the consensus of the opinion that's been out for, you know, all time. And so, you know, this is that's we're not an alternative view, but I will say this, that the Lord told Daniel to keep these things secret until the end. And so it would make sense that the consensus view of these things is not likely the accurate one. And so, you know, Grok was telling me about, oh, well, the scholars say this, the scholars say that. I'm like, well, the scholars are only scholars if their interpretation is actually accurate, right? Otherwise, they're just a bunch of talking. So anyway, so when you go on Grok, you can download the app on your phone, and you can go and see it for yourself, you know, what the prevailing ideas are about end times. It's the same canned things that we've always heard. And so Grok was very receptive. But I don't think I've convinced Grok. But anyway, I think that if we have more people go and fill up this bucket of AI data with something different from what has been the prevailing wisdom, the prevailing thoughts. And they all say they don't know if this is true. But anyway, just so you know, that's what's going on. I'm so glad here we are at the end of our study and that we've gotten through and learned so much. I hope you guys have learned so much. If you've missed any of them, you can go on freedomforce.live, freedomforce.live, and you can go to the video playlists right here under video playlists, and you can see right here the small group study. When you click right there, you'll see all of the studies that we've done all throughout. So when did we start, Miss Tammy? October of 2024, we started this series, and here we've gone every week, pretty much. If you've missed any, you can go back and catch up, but make sure, as I always say, Don't use the teacher guide with all the answer key in it. Use the, do it yourself, and then that'll really help you to make sure that you are really studying it and that you know it from your heart. Yes, very good. Yes, you do it yourself. All right, so I guess that's it. Let's get started and we'll pray. All right, would you pray for us, Miss Tammy? You're on mute, I think. Is the kitty cat getting your mic? You're muting your mic.
I'm back, yes.
Okay, good. Okay, all right, good. Let's pray.
All right, Heavenly Father, we just love you and we praise you. We thank you for yet another Saturday to be able to just spread your word to whoever and who all and everyone that will listen. And we just ask, Lord, that you be with us today. Be with Melly. Help her to get over completely whatever has been bothering her. Just let her feel your touch all over her. And we just pray that for each person that's here today, that what we hear and see and do, we are able to spread,
yes,
as you tell us to do, to,
yes,
get your word out to anyone who will listen. And someone who maybe not listen, at least plant the seed.
Yes.
We just pray that all these things come together for your glory. And we just ask that all we do to honor you and, yes, not ourselves. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Thank you, darling. Thank you. All right. Mm-hmm. So that's the site. Don't forget, hit the like button right now.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and hit it before we get started, because we'll definitely forget when we jump in here. We'll be guns blazing. And also, if you wanted to go on to freedomforce.live and go to the end times page right here, then you can see some of the videos that I have created to help just give someone a primer on end times. And also you find out more about the books, as well as the audio books, as well as the, of course, the study guides. And soon, hopefully we'll have the one ready for... Major Clues for Minor Prophets. So get ready. We're working hard on it. Tammy's worked really hard on it. I've been working hard on it. So we're going to get this knocked out, and then you guys can do the next study. And so you're going to love it. You're going to absolutely love it. All right. So, all right. So let's get started. And here's where they are on Amazon. Just search End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace, and you'll find them. And they're $2.99, and you can share them with others. All right, here we go. Unspeakable joy. Now, before we even start to read, these things are so beautiful. So beautiful. It's hard to even imagine it. But we have had quite a beautiful week looking at all the beautiful things that are in the Middle East that they have built. It was breathtaking how much they have built over there that is absolutely just stunning and so beautiful. So it gives you kind of an idea what, you know, of course, heaven on earth is different. It's going to be a totally different thing. Everything will be made new. Everything will be made incorruptible. But just that'll give you kind of an idea. And really, you know, we've been living in America when it's gotten, things have just fallen apart and apart and apart. Our roads, our bridges, our everything. You know, President Trump's going to make America beautiful again. But let's just imagine this is after the 1,000 years of peace on earth. Then we have the Gog and Magog battle. There's no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. We all have incorruptible bodies. And then heaven and earth merge. That's where we are. That's what's going to happen today. All right. So go for it. Tammy, read that for us, please.
Great. Revelation 21 is the culmination of the Lord's promise to us and what humanity has been striving after for 7,000 years. After the 1,000 years of peace on earth, it will have been 8,000 years working toward and anticipating this great day. That is why this chapter is titled Unspeakable Joy. What is the future the Lord has prepared for us after the Gog and Magog battle? Right. Really important.
Yes, yes. So,
yeah.
And the Gog and Magog battle is where the Lord Jesus destroys death. No more death ever. Just imagine that. The future that he's prepared for us after this, where there's no more death. And no more death for anything. No more the animals, humans, plants, nothing. Nothing ever dies anymore. Death is eradicated from the world. What were you going to say, Tammy?
Oh, no. I was just saying that I was just making sure we got in that it was after Magog.
Yes, yes. After the Gog and Magog battle. Yes, that's, yeah.
I was thinking MAGA. No.
No, not that. All right, so yes, but it's literally heaven on earth.
Yeah.
You know, so this is the vision that the Lord is giving us in this chapter. funny, he does not give us, this is Revelation 21, and so I really don't talk about it, Revelation 21, very much, and he doesn't talk about heaven on earth very much, because it would just be, you know, it's beautiful to look forward to, but until we get there, it's kind of hard to cope with what we're dealing with. If you're just constantly thinking about, oh, heaven on earth, you're like, okay, then can we go to heaven now? And so it's one of those things we have to be patient and wait for, kind of like the best Christmas ever, right? It seems like it'll never get here, but it will. Here we are at the point of Armageddon and about to enter 1,000 years of peace. So this is a huge leap that humanity is taking into this golden age. All right, so now number two.
Okay, put in your own words what a new heaven and new earth will be like. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne, saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them." Will there be any separation between heaven and earth? Try to describe it. Remember, at this point, there will be no death. God's people will have all incorruptible bodies.
Yes. Yay. Yay. All right. This beautiful new heaven and a new earth. So again, everything is new and it doesn't get old. It doesn't wear out. So for the old heaven and the old earth have disappeared at this point. The sea was also gone. That's very interesting. So I think we would have lakes, but not, you know, we have bodies of water, but not this sea that is so daunting and separating. Anyway, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. All right, so this new Jerusalem, again, remember, when you ever hear the word Jerusalem, it's the city of peace or God's city, and what is a city, but a lot of people, right? And so the vision here is they're coming down from God out of heaven to earth. Okay, so this is what's, you know, the vision I want you to get here is right now we have this separation between us and the people in heaven, the one, you know, your loved ones who've gone on and are in heaven. And so what's so beautiful about this is that there's going to be a merging and that no, there will be no more death. So everyone has these incorruptible bodies, the people in heaven and on earth, everyone at the same moment gets the new body. We talked about this last week. Everyone at the same time gets the new body that, so whether they're in heaven or on earth, they've gotten this new body. And so there's no separation and they can come down and we can go up. And it's just, there's no, delineation between heaven and earth. Everyone in heaven can come to earth. Everyone from earth can go to heaven. It's not even really a delineation. Okay. Between heaven and earth. Can you imagine that? What do you think about that? The echo is bad? Huh. Okay. Well, tell me if it gets better. I think it's maybe when, I don't know. I don't know if it was when Tammy was talking. So maybe you guys can put in the chat, you know, when is the echo? So anyway. All right. So if anyone has any other thoughts on that, do you have any other thoughts before we go on, Miss Tammy?
It sounds wonderful, but, you know, the first thing in my mind is, oh, that's so many years away.
Right, right.
But it doesn't matter whether we're here now or in heaven now, it will all come together. So
right, exactly.
We know who we are and where we are when it happens.
I think that's why he doesn't talk about it any more than he does, right? That because yeah. It's just too, it's hard to wait. It's hard to, you know, to be patient. But like I said, I'm just so glad we're at the point now where we're going to see the 1,000 years of peace on earth, the golden age, you know, and so that'll give us a little bit of a help to be patient, because just this, everything's going to get so much better. The health, the wealth, the peace, things are going to get so, so, so much better. So it'll compared to what we've been through, I think it'll be almost like heaven on earth, really. Truly, it will be. you know, all this, the mental illness will be gone. All the illness will be gone, all that. So the other thing it says that at this point it says there'll be God will be with them. What does it say? He will live with them and they will be his people. Okay, so, but you're like, okay, but what about in the millennial kingdom? Because Melissa has said that, you know, what we just recently studied is that during the millennial kingdom that Christ actually is here on earth, which I do believe that that's the case. And I can read to you several verses about that, which we've already done. But here it says he will live with them. I think the difference it's talking about here is he will live with all of his people. Heaven, the people who have already gone to heaven, the people on earth, you know, everyone will be together is the point that I think that he's trying to make in verse 3. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. All of his people, everyone together, living with the Lord on, whether it is heaven on earth or earth, we just, you know, you can go either place, it doesn't matter. And he will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. All right. Is that the vision of just this, just no separation at all. The Lord with all of his people. All right. No worries, no evildoers, nothing to cause the slightest alarm. I can't even imagine. Because even in the millennial kingdom, there's still going to be death until he casts out death. All right. Now, number 3.
Okay. Will the Lord dwell with us physically as our king on earth during the millennial kingdom?
Yes.
Obadiah 1:21. Those who have been rescued will go up to Mount Zion in Jerusalem to rule over the mountains of Edom, and the Lord himself will be king.
Okay, so this is during the millennial kingdom. Okay, mm-hmm. It says the Lord himself will be king. He will dwell among us, and he will be king on earth. I believe that's talking about a physical that he will be here with us physically. So I'll show you also in Zechariah 2. Yes, Zechariah 2 says, verse 10 says, shout and rejoice, O beautiful Jerusalem, for I'm coming to live among you. Again, this is not talking about, at this point, in Zechariah 2, it's not talking about in heaven, it's talking about in the millennial kingdom. Many nations will join themselves to the Lord on that day, and they too will be my people. I will live among you, and you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies sent me to you. So again, that's talking about the millennial kingdom, that he lives with us. And then, you know what? There's another one in Zephaniah. I was going to read to you, I think it's Zephaniah 3. Let me see real quick. Zephaniah 3. You know, this is something you just never, you know, hear them talked about. Hear it talked about when they talk about the end times. You know, when you search like on end times, they're always talking about, you know, the rapture and when that'll happen and all that stuff. But they don't really talk about, you know, Christ dwelling with us. And that's why I'm so glad that we've been able to really dig a little deeper into the end times to find out, you know, what is actually happening at you know, at different stages. So let me see if I can find this one. Here we go. Here's the other one. For the Lord will remove his hand of judgment and will disperse the armies of your enemy. Okay, the New World Order. And the Lord himself, the King of Israel, will live among you. There you go. At last your troubles will be over and you will never again fear disaster. So this is, again, not talking about heaven when the Lord dwells with all of his people, heaven and earth, because it's merged. This is talking about the millennial kingdom. So I just want to clarify that there is a difference. He will live among, does that make sense? He will live among us on earth as the king for the millennial kingdom. Of course, as the king, he'd have to be here. And then the other one, this one here in Revelation 21 is talking about living with everyone together. No delineation, no separation. All right. Number 4.
Try to imagine Revelation 21:4 and put it into your own words. Praise the Lord for this unspeakable gift. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.
Ah, yay. Praise the Lord. One day, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. No more death. And that's the biggest tear, really, is this separation stuff. It's just, that's what caused Jesus to cry. he just cried. They were just shocked at how much he was crying because of it's this. There never should have been death, but he is the victor over death, and then death will no longer have a sting. Praise the Lord! He will wipe every tear, and all those things of death and sorrow and crying and pain will be gone forever. So, you know, the truth is, during the millennial kingdom, it will be so much better. But there will still be death, and there will still be some sorrow, and there will still be crying, and there will still be pain until we get to this point and after Gog and Magog. All right. No, is there anything else you want to add to that?
Well, we're good.
Okay. All right. If anybody else has something, I will put it in the chat, and I'll read it to everybody. All right. So go ahead with number 5.
Okay. What else will our Lord, What else will our Lord Jesus do in his reign of heavenly earth? Enjoy. And then one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children."
Amen. Amen. I see the question you have on there, a songbird. I'm going to get to that just in a quick second. But let's do this one real quick first. Yes, this is what our Lord Jesus bought for us. He is the one who can buy all these things. You can't, I can't, nobody can except for him. And, you know, he's whether people understand that, you know, there are a lot of things that we don't understand. A lot of things in all of us. And, you know, the wonderful people that President Trump was just with in the Middle East, you know, they're Muslims. They don't understand what Jesus did on the cross. But I think that they are trying their hardest with the knowledge that they have to do the best that they can. And I think the Lord understands that, as we've talked about in Romans 2 many times. But, this is the wonderful truth about our Lord Jesus, is that he bought this for people who don't even understand it. He's bought this a beautiful promise about heaven on earth. He's bought this, you know, from beginning to end. He says he's the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. Imagine that. Everyone will just receive freely from him, you know, from the water of life. It'll be absolutely amazing. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings. I will be their God. They will be my children. Just imagine. Just imagine. It's going to be beyond what we can even comprehend. So it's good that we have the 1,000 years of peace to get used to something a lot better. It's going to be a lot better for the 1,000 years of peace, because this, we'd probably all have a heart attack and die, but you can't die. So it's a nice transition. The 1,000 years of peace is a beautiful transition, because we'll live longer. Also, our lives will begin to extend. So we'll see people who've lived a long, long, long time, even though we will see death. We'll see, that'll give us a vision of what it's like, that people won't die at all. And I still think, as we talked about a couple chapters ago, that there are some who, it says, won't taste death. There maybe are some people, it appears from that verse in Revelation 20, that will not see death at all. They will not taste death. They will, over them, the second death has no power. So, you know, this is, again, helping us with this transition that, okay, this is something that's possible, and we're moving in this direction. All right. Anything else before we go on?
No, just the last sentence, fullness of joy that will never run out.
Yay.
Yay. I mean, we get taste and pieces of it at different points in our life. And then we go into the valley.
Right.
So this is telling us it's never going to run out.
I love that. Thank you for saying that. Yes, I love that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, so the question, someone brought up this question. I'm going to pop this over here so we can pop in Matthew chapter 24. I think Restenbaum had a question. Is this where people often say someone claiming to be Jesus is gathering people here on earth? Don't go to see this person. Stay home. It's not Jesus. Okay, so here, I think it's from this passage here in Matthew 24. He says, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all this is only the first parts of the birth pangs, with more to come. It talks about more of these things that will happen, people being arrested, persecuted, killed, hated, all that. We've seen all that. We've seen deceivers come out and all that. But at some point, our Lord Jesus will, okay, here's another one, part, verse 23. If anyone tells you, look, here's a Messiah, there he is, don't believe it, for false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. See, I have warned you about it ahead of time. Look, the Messiah's out in the desert, someone tells you. Don't bother to go look, or look, he's hiding here, don't believe it. For as the lightning flashes in the east and shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. Just as the gathering vultures show there's a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate the end is near. All right, so that's the verse that I think it was Restenbaum. And so, okay, I'll talk about him returning in the sky in just a second. But all right, so here, this is kind of a little bit off topic of what we're talking about, but I'll go ahead quickly and just talk about it a little bit. The what the difference is that when Christ returns, he will make such monumental changes on the earth that it will be undeniable, you know. And so what we've had is different people who like the John of God or whatever, they would come up as a Messiah, like who is that one that with the Kool-Aid guy,
Kool-Aid Jones,
yes, that those kinds of people, you know, don't go there. Don't follow these people. They want you to drink the Kool-Aid. So, you know, that's what it's talking about. They were just over in a corner doing something on their own for their own whatever, you know, for whatever reason. What is going to happen, as it says here, when the Lord Jesus returns, as the lightning flashes in the east and shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. In other words, so monumental, so undeniable that no one can miss it. And such monumental changes on the earth that are so obvious that it's bringing in, ushering in the kingdom. That's how you know when it's the Christ and ushering in peace and health and wealth. All right, so this is again what we talked about. And so someone was saying him returning in the sky. Okay, so that's the one passage that I know of that says this is 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord forever, and thus we will always be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. So there it's talking about him returning in the sky. Well, we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago on the Gog and Magog study. When does that happen? When does that happen where he comes from, you know, in the sky? And very much like what we were just talking about, at some point, heaven and earth will merge. Jesus will come down from the sky, ushering in all the people from heaven onto earth, so that there's no, as I was saying before, there's no delineation between heaven and earth. And so I'm convinced that that is after the Gog and Magog battle, when we have our new incorruptible bodies. And everyone has their new incorruptible body, whether they are on earth or whether they're in heaven, everyone will have them at the same time. And so our Lord Jesus is, quote, returning in the sky with God's people, with the ones who are in heaven, who've been in heaven, and so that everyone's joined together. All right. I hope that makes sense. That was a big breakthrough for me when I realized that verse that they had led me to believe was when we would escape earth was not about that at all. It was about the moment when we will receive our incorruptible bodies, much like 1 Corinthians chapter 15, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and will be made incorruptible. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 and 52. So that's what, again, after the 1,000 years of peace, when Jesus conquers death finally. All right. I hope that's helpful. All right. Anything else on that? I'll try to keep watching the chat to see if there are any other questions about that. All right. So now let's go back to the study guide. Yes, we were talking about how this heavenly reign on this heavenly earth, think of it as heaven literally come to earth It's a big step since the 1,000 years of peace, which is much more beautiful, and things, we live longer and all that. But now it's no death at all. All right. Anything else on 5 before we keep going?
Good.
Yeah. So someone else, before we go on, hang on. When he returns in the sky and catches us away is when we get our new bodies. Was taught this verse was us raptured on earth before the tribulation. Yes, that's what I was taught too. And that's what a big part of the teaching is in the Protestant church. So this is, in my strong opinion, is not, we're not leaving. The only ones who are leaving are the criminals. And we're going to have 1,000 years of peace on earth. We have a beautiful, bright future that we're looking forward to. And so we're not, this catching away is not the biblical, is not the true interpretation. Yeah, that's what I was taught too. But then think of it, if we can really wrap our heads around this being the time when, you know, true rapture is, rapture is a word that means absolute joy, right? Rapture means absolute, unbounded, unmitigated joy. And that is, that's when everyone's joined back together. That's when you have rapture. Rapture is joy beyond which you can even imagine. Words can't even begin to describe it. You can imagine no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more of that. That is, quote, rapture. You know, to the honest truth is, it's not rapture to me to escape earth and everyone else here stay on earth and die. I just, that's not rapture to me. It is rapture to me for everyone to be back together and there to be no more fear or of death or any other tragedy. That is rapture. All right. All right. Yes. Thank you, Grandma of two kids. Very helpful. Thank you so much. I know we can't even imagine it, how beautiful this is going to be. And that's why he didn't talk about it very much. We're going to read though here in a minute. We're going to read how beautiful it's going to be. It really reminds me of some of that beautiful stuff we saw in the Middle East. But anyway, all right. So read for us number 6, Miss Tammy.
Okay. Who is excluded and where will they be? It's kind of what you were discussing, but this helps with, but cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worship, and all the liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death.
Yep.
And the fiery,
Who's excluded from this? This beautiful picture we're having is that, oh, the Lord Jesus is here with us. No more death. Everyone's together. It's so beautiful. But the cowards, the unbelievers, the corrupt, the murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, the idol worshipers, and all liars are gone. Gone forever. Forever. Yeah. The second death, the first death is separation from God, right? That is when you, in your spirit. But now they're separated in the fiery lake of burning sulfur forever. They're gone forever and can't do any more deception, can't do any more harm to people, murdering people, witchcraft on people, they can't do any satanic worship, satanic sacrifices anymore. They can't do any more, spread any more lies anymore. Gone. Excluded. Yeah. And so as Bukele was saying in El Salvador, he says, you know, when I'm punishing these people and locking them away, it's not as much as I'm about, you know, damaging them as much as it is I'm about protecting all the millions of other people. And that is what heaven is going to be, where we're in a safe place. We don't have to lock the doors. You don't have to worry about how you're going to pay the rent. You don't have, it's none of that. All that's gone. All that's gone forever. Don't have to worry about insurance and, you know, car wrecks and, you know, getting sick and all. Like, I just went for the past day, like, so sick, you know, no more sickness. I mean, I just can't even imagine. We spend so much of our time just trying to keep body and soul together, don't we? Keep our finances together. All right. So those are excluded. Praise the Lord, in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. They're not getting out after that ever. And all the demons are gone. So super, super quick. You're like, okay, but I thought the beast and the false prophet were already cast into hell. Well, they were after at the Armageddon. But remember, we talked about this in the Gog and Magog study, okay? This one right here. Let me go back to this. We did this one right here. What is the Gog and Magog battle? If you haven't read, gone to that one, you know, study that one. At that point, I lost my train of thought. At that point, Satan is loosed, and that there are those who join with him. And I said in the book, I'm like, it looks like some other people fall victim to his lies and join with him. And those are the ones, those liars, the immoral, the corrupt that Tammy was just reading, those are the ones that are then cast into the fiery lake. Those who joined with Satan, again, are cast out and never to come back again. All right. Anything else before we go on? You good on that? Mm-hmm. All right. Number 7.
Tell in your own words about the beautiful new heaven and the new earth we will enjoy and bask in the glory which is our future. Should we read it all?
Okay. Here we go.
Okay. Then one of the 7 angels who held the 7 bowls containing the 7 last plagues came and said to me, "Come with me. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." So he took me in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God and sparkled like a precious stone, like jasper, as clear as crystal. The city wall was broad and high, with 12 gates guarded by 12 angels, and the names of the 12 tribes of Israel were written on the gates. There were 3 gates on each side, east, north, south, and west. The wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked to me held in his hand a gold measuring stick to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. When he measured it, he found it was a square, as wide as it was long. In fact, its length and width and height were each 1,400 miles. Then he measured the walls and found them to be 216 feet thick, according to the 77 human standard used by the angel. The wall was made of jasper, and the city pure gold, as clear as glass. The wall of the city was built on foundation stones inlaid with 12 precious stones. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were made of pearls, each gate from a single pearl, and the main tree's street was pure gold, as clear as glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon. The glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. The gates will never be closed at the end of day, because there is no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yay. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you, Tammy. That was a lot. Mm-hmm. Oh, it sounds just breathtaking. Just breathtaking. So beautiful. And the best part is that it's safe, you know. And of course, it talks about these walls being 216 feet thick. You know, this is obviously a lot of symbolism, a lot of, you know, but it's just showing you that you're completely protected, you know, at, you know, 1,400 miles long and wide. And, I think a lot of that is about how it's, I think that's a lot of symbolism right there. And so I don't think it's just really to show us that this city is huge. It basically fills the earth is what's really the picture is. It fills the earth and we're protected. And that goes with verse 27, nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry. Of course, that's Satan worship, demon worship, and dishonesty. Just, it's hard to even imagine. It says there'll be, in the millennial kingdom, it says there'll be no more deception for 1,000 years. which is, you know, really, we've had so much deception, it's really hard to imagine not having any deception. But yeah, so in this time, there'll be no dishonesty at all allowed in the kingdom, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All right. And so it does appear that before this point in the millennial kingdom, there are people in yes, there's death, and there's also those who are not, you know, committed to the Lord, you know, and that these do join in league with Satan once he comes out. So that's unfortunate, but heaven is going to be where there's no, everyone loves the Lord there. Everyone loves the Lord. Everyone. And as beautiful as the sapphires and the agate and the emerald and the onyx and the carnelian and the chrysolite and all that stuff is, it sounds beautiful. But the best thing is that everybody loves the Lord. Yeah. Everybody, you know, has that same heart of just loving and proven, you know, not just saying it. Because we've just seen people, some people say it and they don't really. You know, this, imagine that. Can you imagine, you guys? We get a little taste of it right here on our channel that we have our wonderful believers who are here and we all just love each other. You know, of course, sometimes from time to time we might get someone in here who's trying to wreak some havoc, but it'll be everybody. And you won't even have to wonder. You won't have to go, is that somebody really working against me? You know, it won't be any of that. It just takes your breath away. Takes your breath away. No more sickness. No more. The nations will walk in its light. The kings of the world will enter in that city in all their glory. Everyone, you know, in the same condition, no more, that no one has to worry about anything of death or sorrow or crying. Amazing. Amazing. That's the promise. This is the promise of where we're headed. So again, you think of it as we've completed all these years of struggle, of, you know, labor. It says in 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord, the seventh day, which is the 1,000 years of peace, and then this eighth day, which is Simchat Torah, which we talk about during the Feast of Tabernacles and all that. This eighth day is heaven on earth. So this is that, you know, that 1,000 years, really from forever after that. This eighth day continues on and on and on. It's going to be beautiful. All right. Does anyone have any thoughts or questions about any of that that they wanted to shout out before we move on? Everyone has plenty. No more struggle. No more stress. And the Lord's presence with everybody. He is the light. He's like, interesting. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, my grandma used to say, call me up and to sing. She played the piano when I was little, and the song, and I don't hear it anymore, but it's, I'm going to a city where the streets of gold are laid, where the tree of life is burning and the roses never fade. I've kept that in my mind my whole life.
Oh, wow. What a beautiful song that is. Yes. Oh, wow. That sounds wonderful. Yeah, it's a beautiful high mountain. He showed me the holy city descending out of heaven from God. Again, that goes back to what someone was asking before, that Jesus coming down from heaven. That's when he comes, he descends from heaven with this shout, with the voice of the archangel. He's descending with all the other believers who have already gone into heaven, bringing them down so that we're all joined together. So it says here, the 12 tribes of Israel, of course, that is our foundation, is the same faith as Abraham, that we have this faith in God, that this faith is counted to us as righteousness. And so this is where, you know, it's talking about the 12 tribes of Israel in verse 12, 3 gates on each side, east, north, south, and west. And we've talked about many times that this is the picture, in prophecy of the beast with the face of the lion and the face of the ox and the face of the man and the face of the eagle. You know, this is our foundation in the true Israel of God. That is the people who have the same faith as Abraham. And so really that's really what the Lord is looking for. He's looking for those who have the faith in God, who are faithful to God. Again, whether they may not have always understood exactly what our Lord Jesus came to do. And that's our job. It's incumbent upon us to share the truth about what our Lord Jesus did. Understanding that someone, if they may be faithful to God in the knowledge that they, the best knowledge that they have at that time. All right. Is there anything else? I think that's the end of the That's the end of it. I told you that was going to be an easy one.
Yeah,
this was an easy one. If anyone has any other thoughts on that, just shout it out before we finish up. But so we have completed now the entire thing. Let's go back all the way to the top. It wouldn't be a bad idea now that we've done that is to go through. Here's the table of contents. I'm so proud of us. We did it. We went through all of the chapters. Wow, we did it. And all 26. And then if you wanted to go, you might just do this just as a kind of a refresher. Let me back up. When you go to this passage here, the Revelation decode, starting on page 7. Now that we've done the whole thing, I think it would be a good idea to go back to the Revelation decode, and it gives you the summary of exactly what's happening in the book of Revelation. And so that if there's, just to piece it all together, I think that would be very helpful to do. And I don't know that I'll just do it super, super quick. Super, super quick. But to go through it, I think it would be a very good idea to, now that we've done the whole thing. So we started with Revelation. He's giving us this greetings and doxology about how praise the Lord for what he's going to reveal to us. And then, of course, our Lord Jesus among the seven churches. He's guiding the churches to fulfill this great commission. And then, of course, our Lord Jesus has that scroll, and he alone is able to break the seals and open the scroll. Like on my wall, like on that beautiful song we've been singing. And of course, it's because he was slain, because he died for us on the cross, and he deserves the crown that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's the Lord throughout all the entire world. This is where, this is the truth of God, where we're headed. And then the seals are opened. We realize that all the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the pale horse is how they've been attacking us with the puppet leaders and the war and the financial system, how they've been damaging the financial system and our health. So we learned all about that. Remember, if you don't, you can go back and refresher if you need to go back and watch some of the other videos about that. But this is what the revelation is that we now realize that this is how they've been doing this. It's not that the Antichrist would come out in the future, but the Antichrist has been doing this to us for a long, long, long time. And then the souls are asking, Lord, how long until you put a stop to all this? How long until we are avenged of what they have done to us? And then we see this great earthquake. Well, this great earthquake is the earthquake of truth, really. And then we were sealed. The Lord has sealed us. We are the 144,000. All those who are in this battle are fighting to stop the criminal cabal. And we are this chosen Omer that's selected, hand selected for this amazing battle. We have this, but the great multitude is all those we just talked about in heaven and earth who are waiting for humanity's deliverance. Not everyone is chosen to be in this army, but there's a great multitude who loves the Lord. And then there's silence in heaven because they realize that what we're going to face to fight demons is going to be daunting. Then you have the trumpets. The trumpets are talking about the 33% of this are destroyed, and the 33% of the sea is destroyed, and the 33% of the rivers are destroyed, and the 33% of the sun and the moon and the stars are destroyed. What in the world? They were telling us. They're blasting the truth in our ears. Who is doing all this to us? The 33s, the secret societies are doing this to us. And then you've got the plague of locusts, which is the fake news, how they are just... They've got the golden hair but they've got the teeth of iron that they come in and they just rip us limb from limb with all their lies. They're still lying to us, still lying. Cannot wait till the lies stop. And then the release of the four angels. That's us. We've been released to destroy them. This is so exciting. I think that one of the things that we did yesterday was exposing what we blasted that all on social media, what Comey had done. Doing an assassination attempt, a plot against our president, and this is how we destroy them, with the truth. We're not having to do it with guns and bullets. We're doing it with the truth and blasting out the truth. That's why I really want you to pray for my X account to really, really grow so that we can help to get our voice bigger about these things, specifically end times. Anyway, and then the angel and the little scroll, remember that's where John was, he was red-pilled. He's like, it tastes so good going down. You're like, oh, I'm understanding all this truth. And all of a sudden he realizes, oh no, it's making me sick because you find out all the evil things that they've done. Then we talked about the two witnesses. The two witnesses were the church and the state and how they were hijacked by the New World Order. and that now the good people, God's people, are taking back the church and the state. We see it even now with having good people running the government with President Trump and his people and all over the world. And then the seventh trumpet is where it's the hallelujah chorus. Praise the Lord that he's finally assumed his role and he's come to reign. Then we talk about the key players in the book of Revelation, like the woman and the dragon, and how the woman is this horrible, the woman is God's, all God's people, but this dragon is trying to stop us from birthing the kingdom on earth. And then the two beasts, which is the beast and the false prophet, the New World Order and the false prophets. We're finding out more about that. I think a lot of the churches are being exposed and now. And so I'm excited about, you know, us having the church being set right. We can't go into the millennial kingdom and have the church still deceiving the people. Interesting little tidbit while we're on that subject, real super quick, is that the Pope has been actually promoting marriage between one man and one woman. Imagine that. Huh. Imagine that. That's, who knows? There may be something good going on in the Catholic Church. Anyway, we will wait and see. But yeah, so a lot of churches are struggling and because of the exposure of some of the things they've been doing. And it has to happen. It has to happen. So don't think about how it's terrible. It is terrible, but the truth's got to come out. And it's all going to be revealed. All right, then the Lamb and the 144,000. We were sealed before, and now we're ready to go and charge into battle. And we're standing on the top of that mountain alongside our Lord. And this is those who are hand-selected by the Lord to fight in this battle. And then we go into the harvest of the earth. This is the harvest of, there's two harvests. One is the harvest of the Omer bundle right behind me. And those who, you know, love the Lord will be harvested. Everyone coming to understand the truth about the Lord. And then the harvest of the wicked, the grapes of wrath being crushed. Then we talk about all the seven bowls, all these judgments being poured out on them one by one by one. And they are being exposed. And this is what they hate. And they're plunged into darkness and they're suffering. And then the last bowl is that there's a tremendous earthquake where the whole thing comes crashing down. That's where we really, really are close to seeing that happen. Very, very exciting. As we know, saving Israel for last. And that truth is coming out a lot. All right. Then we have Babylon. He's explaining who is this city of evil. Who is this Babylon? And we know this whole system works together against us. They have the prostitute, those who have joined with them in the government officials and the entertainment industry and the banking industry and the media to work, and religious and education, all these, medical, all this to be their prostitute, basically to do whatever they are told to do for the money and to run the world and to help this evil Babylonian empire. But they're going to fall, as it says in chapter 18. We know, I mean, everything that I'm reading to you guys, well, you know all this. You maybe just didn't know it was in the book of Revelation. And then we praise the Lord for the destruction of Babylon and for the wedding, this beautiful wedding where Christ will rule on earth and that we will rule with him. And it's going to be an absolute beautiful, beautiful wedding celebration. And then Christ destroys Babylon and he begins to rule on earth. That's where we are in this most recent study. Revelation 20 is where the beast and the false prophet and Satan are cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, gone. Praise the Lord. Then after the 1,000 years, Satan is allowed out and the Lord destroys him along with death. After that, there's the great white throne judgment where everyone receives their rewards for their works. And it's not about whether you go to heaven or not. That's already been decided. That's already been resolved. It's about those who receive the rewards for what they have done on earth. And then there's a new heaven, as we talked about today, the new heaven and the new earth where there's no more death, no more sorrow, and no more crying. And then the Revelation ends with this beautiful doxology, this benediction of how beautiful heaven is on earth and the bride of Christ. We did it! We did it! Yay! Okay, so the next week, the only chapter we have left here is the one about the stars. And so this is where you want to study. Now, what I want you guys to do, I know you have the book and you've been studying the book. Let me see if I can get back to this one. Make sure I don't hurt your eyes. Okay, here we go. It's this one right here. So what I want you to do for this, to prepare for next week, is to get the stellarium online planetarium and download it to your laptop. I do not think you'll be able to see it on a phone. It's just too, you need a big screen. Okay, so I really would suggest to getting the Stellarium, Stellarium.org. Download the online planetarium so that you can actually do these things. And I had done this, you know, basically in the book, I'm showing you what you need to, you know, turn on, what you need to turn off, and all that, so that you can actually see these things that we're talking about here and the beautiful signs in the heavens. Another little quick note, I was, when I was talking to Grok, Grok was like, oh, this is all just conspiracy, and this is all speculation. And so I told Grok, I said, well, that might be the prevailing consensus. But don't forget that the wise men followed this beautiful Bethlehem star, and they were right, and they found the Christ. So wise men in this day would do well to do the same and follow the signs in the heavens. And Grok said, you know, you're right. You are right. And so it's just not the prevailing consensus. And it's not been what's pummeled out through the scholars. But the wise men were right. And the ones who were leading, you know, in the temple during Jesus' day, they were wrong. I'm just saying. That wouldn't be out of the stretch of imagination for that to be the same case. Anyway, so you can see all these things here. Learn about how to do it. Learn how to show the trails. Learn how to follow the Jupiter, for example. And you'll see the heavenly loops that are made. Yeah, so Grok actually agreed with me, at least for that conversation. Again, we're fighting an uphill battle because we're not the consensus, but the prevailing view. All right, so yeah, so then you can do this yourself. So I would really encourage you to take the time, download the online planetarium, actually go through setting it up like I've told you, and then you'll be able to actually see this for yourself, not just what's in my book or what I have shown you or on my page on the freedomforce.live. If you go to the videos, you'll see I've got the astronomy biblical right here, and I've got tons of videos where I show it, but I really would encourage you to do it yourself, and then you'll know it for yourself, right? Not just what I say. All right, I think that's it. So that's what you're going to do. That's your homework. All right, everybody, and you'll see all these loops, and here we are on the final loop. We're not going to talk about it today, but anyway, the final loop which we are in, we're just completing this loop in Taurus. So we're zigzag actually in Taurus to gore this new world order to utter destruction. I'm ready for that. Then we head into the age of Aquarius, where it's 1,000 years of peace on earth. All right, I think that's everything. Okay, we'll go ahead and pray. And yes, we've been deceived about so much. We have been. And so it's tough because, you know, the ones who are, a lot of times speaking the truth are the ones who are kind of pushed off into a corner. I'm glad you guys are here. I appreciate you being here so that we can learn together and just pray that we'll be able to expand our territory to get this truth out. Okay, let's pray. Thank you again so much, Lord. Your kingdom is coming and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for this promise. And yes, we're excited about the beautiful time when heaven will come to earth. That's just going to be beyond what we can even imagine. But for right now, we're just so glad that we get to enjoy seeing the destruction of the beast and the false prophet, and that we're going to see 1,000 years of peace on earth, just like you promised, and you will dwell with us. And we have beautiful days of long, long lives. So we praise you and thank you. Thank you that you've revealed these things to us, and that you're teaching us every day how to understand all these things better and better. And just, Lord, we just pray that you just help us to share this very important information. Even though it's just like very few people are even on this page, just, Lord, show us the way. You showed those, your disciples, how to share the truth back in the day. And I just trust that you'll do the same thing for us so that people can see this. Of course, when your kingdom comes in fullness, there's no more wars, when there's no more disease, when there's no more financial hardship, I think it'll be easier for people to believe it. We're just thankful that that's where we're headed. Thank you for calling us into this battle and giving us this hope, this confidence that this is our future. your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We just again pray for everyone here. Just continue to strengthen them for the job, the calling that you have on each one of our lives, that we would be faithful and your good soldiers and to fight in this battle. Thank you for those who are leading the charge. Thank you for our wonderful president, and just continue to bless him and bless all who are fighting so hard. And Lord, we just pray that very soon that we'll see that our enemies fall, the whole house of cards destroyed and crumbled, and that they can no longer hurt anyone ever again. Thank you that these vaccines are going to be stopped. All this, Lord, everything they've done to us will be ended. Thank you so much, Lord. We praise you. We love you. And we bless your name. In your great name we pray, Jesus. Amen. All right, everybody, it's time to go, as always. We don't like it, but we have to do it. All right, guys, I love you. We'll be on the chat for just a little bit longer. Oh, don't forget to check out all the things on freedomforce.live, especially the health page. I'm so glad that I have all this information, because when I got sick, I have all these things in my house all the time to protect myself. So check those out, freedomforce.live/health, and take care of yourselves, right? I love you guys. Gotta avoid it if all possible, and be well. All right, guys, I think that's it. Anything else, Miss Tammy?
That's it.
All right. Love you guys. And we'll talk to you later.
Later.